and some information, right? If you kritagna, kritagnata means if you remember what others have done to you, that's certainly knowledge, and that is called gratitude also. But gratitude, the word gratitude, the explanation of the word gratitude becomes complete when you also have a feeling to reciprocate with what others have done. Right? When you have a feeling that, oh, I need to do something also. Yeah, he has done to me. I remember it. Ah, yaad hai mereko. That's one thing. Main kuch karun kya? Like that. So, also, our expression of gratitude many times depends on our experience of gratitude also. And that depends on our acknowledgement of how rare a fortune it is to have a human form of life. So we received a human form of life. Do we have any control over what species we are entering into? But we just ended up in human forms. That's a sufficient reason for us to be grateful to people around us, especially Krishna and Guru. So, gratitude is the foundational principle for spiritual growth and the basic quality of human kindness also. Gratitude is a very important principle. Now, especially in the spiritual circles, this gratitude becomes even more relevant. Yes, gratitude in general is an important principle. Everyone should be grateful. A son is grateful to mother. A wife is grateful to husband. Husband is grateful to wife. Children are grateful to parents. Parents are grateful to children for maintaining them later. So like that, gratitude is a universal principle. However, in spiritual circles, it becomes all the more significant. Because now I see most of you are brahmacharis. Some of you are in saffron also here. So, a brahmachari especially does not have a payment to work. Someone is paying you. You are doing some services during weekends. Right? Even before that also you must be coming from various temples and you are doing various services in the ashram. After your 2 years course also you will go to different temples and then you will be rendering services there. No one will pay you for the seva that you have done. At the end of the month, every employee, TCS employee or some medical employee, whoever, they get some payment. 50,000, 1 lakh, that will be deposited in their bank account. If that salary doesn't get deposited in your bank account at the end of the month or beginning of the month, whatever, you will not have the necessary inspiration or impetus to continue service in that company. Second month also they didn't give. Okay, there could be some delay in the salary. Fine. Thoda gali deke, I'll adjust. We may think like that. The employee may think like that. But second month also they don't give salary only. Then you go and ask, salary kedar? Just express your gratitude to the company for maintaining you all the while. Now we are unable to pay you. Please continue working. Our relationship, our friendship is there. Continue working. Will you be able to complete? Will you be able to continue in that? No. Without payment, there is no work. You can't extract any work from me. If I notice that you won't be able to pay me anymore, just accept the fact that I won't be serving your company anymore. Simple. Very clear about it. No confusions. No second thoughts. But in a ashram setup, in spiritual circles, whether it is Brahmacharya ashram or Gurusana, whichever ashram it may be, why a disciple would serve Guru? Guru is not paying them salary. But the disciple is serving the Guru. Unless that principle of gratitude is not there, if we don't have gratitude towards that spiritual master who is inculcating spiritual culture and values and knowledge and guidance to the disciple will not be able to serve the Guru. Not necessarily only Diksha Guru. Anyone who contributes to our spiritual advancement, without gratitude, we can't continue serving them. Right? Because service needs remuneration. In this world, any service that a person does, you may call it service. Airport people may claim that they are serving the passengers, bus stand and railway, they are serving. Of course, there is some service. But without payment, no service. You can't step inside our train without a ticket. We render service to you, but it is not unalloyed service. It's star condition supply. This much payment. Even if you pay 10 rupees less also, we will not allow you inside the bus. Right? But in spiritual circles, no payment is given. Guru serves the disciple by giving spiritual guidance and spiritual initiation and spiritual instruction without expecting any remuneration. Guru may, he may be given dakshina. That is out of gratitude. Right? But that dakshina is not the focus of the guru. Similarly, when the disciple is serving guru, oh, my guru will give me the so-and-so incentives. So in spiritual circles, it's all the more significant and very important. If that feeling is not there, we cannot continue in the spiritual path. Gratitude is the fuel with which our vehicle, spiritual vehicle, runs. If you don't have gratitude towards the devotees around you, towards your guru, guru's representatives and your co-sadhakas in general, if you are not grateful to them, you don't feel like staying there, staying with them. It's only in a dream that you stay lifelong in the association of devotees without gratitude. If you are grateful, you will tolerate. Earlier we spoke about tolerance. When will the tolerance manifest? If you are grateful. Right? The child, sometimes the parents may slap the child. May punish the child. May chastise the child. Hey, aisa kyun kar rahe? Right? But because the child received a lot from the parents, although the chastisement is very austere for him to receive, the child will tolerate it. So this feeling of gratitude will inculcate the feeling of tolerance also. You will be tolerating all the difficulties in the association of devotees. Inevitably there is difficulties. There are misunderstandings. There are pressures. Right? So you can't expect a tension-free life. So once in our Ishtagoshti, Brahmacharya Ashram Ishtagoshti, some discussion was going on. So devotees are saying that, oh, lights are not off. Whatever, or in our Vidyapeeth Ishtagoshtis, you people keep complaining, right? Same thing is there in ashram. Since I joined ashram, it's happening like that. That's also very soon, right? You ask someone who stayed for 20 years, he will also say the same thing. So fans are not switched off. Some people are fanatics, some people are non-fanatics. Means some people want fan, some people don't want fan. Right? So there is always conflict. People are switching on lights after 8:30 p.m. also. Now we are getting troubled. So like that, so many such petty issues are there. And they're all valid. They're genuinely getting troubled. Right? Devotees. So they're expressing and the senior people are addressing those issues and all. Generally, I don't speak much in Ishtagoshti. Only in Vidyapeeth Ishtagoshti I speak. There, I don't speak much. So, I was getting bored hearing so much. Then I was just pushing one of my friends in the ashram. I said, "Hey, aap bhi kuch bolo. You also speak something. You don't have any complaints?" I just asked. He spoke a very profound statement. Just one statement he made. That really struck me. Oh, wonderful. Such a nice statement he made. He said, all these are such insignificant prices to pay to stay in the association of devotees. Somebody is troubling us. When somebody says, when I am sleeping, somebody will put torchlight like this. That light will come on my face. And someone else will say, I am sleeping there, somebody is opening locker. That iron locker, when it is getting opened, some sound comes and my sleep gets disturbed. I am a sensitive sleeper. That's valid. Valid point. Right? So, and if someone has a serious health issue, and he has really sensitive sleep, we need to address it also. But the basic quality or inclination to tolerate such small inconveniences and not get bothered unless it is really getting on your, taking a toll on your system, not getting bothered is a very basic thing that as sadhus we need to expect. Right? So this is an insignificant price to pay to stay in the association of devotees. To say that statement, the heart should be filled with gratitude. I am grateful to be here. अरे इधर नहीं है तो मैं उधर जाके सोता हूँ, राइट? यू नो, आई लेफ्ट अ बंगला एंड केम टू दिस हम्बल दिस स्मॉल रूम. इन दिस स्मॉल रूम देर आर 20 पीपल स्टेइंग देयर. हाउ कैन 20 पीपल, 15 पीपल स्टे इन दिस स्मॉल रूम? आई यूज्ड टू हैव वन रूम एज बिग एज दिस एक्सक्लूसिवली फॉर मी. आई वुड गो देयर. या, यू कैन गो देयर, बट यू डोंट गेट द एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज. यू डोंट गेट द इंस्पिरेशन दैट इज अराउंड. Unless you are grateful for this experience, you will not have the impetus to tolerate the inconveniences in the association of devotees. Unless you don't have gratitude within your heart, you don't feel like contributing, you don't feel like serving, reciprocating. You need to do service throughout the life. Right? Whichever ashram one may be, one has to serve Guru, one has to serve Vaishnavas, one has to serve Krishna. When will that service attitude manifest? The gratitude is the fuel behind that service attitude. The internal gratitude would manifest as service in one's dealings with other devotees. Right? So it's a foundational principle for our spiritual growth. So gratitude is basically to see beyond the immediate circumstances that come upon us. Right now we are getting inconvenienced by something. We are getting bothered by the behavior of someone or by something else, some other difficulty. But if the heart is filled with gratitude, you see beyond these immediate circumstances and see a bigger picture. Fine. It's okay. There's a phase. It will go ahead. It will just go away. And another phase will come. So I need to continue. Right, but if the heart is not filled with gratitude, we get carried away by that immediate circumstance and we want to immediately deal with it, and dealing with it becomes a greatest dire need of the heart, yes, let's deal with it, and you are just lost in dealing with it and you are compromising on principle of gratitude and service attitude and all of that and getting into blame game. What does it mean? Blame leads to more blame. And that more blame leads to even more blame. If you blame someone for what they have done to you, then he will show something else. Oh, this is the reason why I have done this. Then he will point out some other person, and then you blame that person. Then you blame the other person. You blame that another person. Like that, blame only leads to more blame. But if you only you try to reconcile the situation internally, then you don't tend to blame. Of course, we need to deal with circumstances, we need to deal with the problem with minimal possible blame, with minimum possible negativity. Negativity is there, but let's minimize it and let's just work on it as much as it is required, dutifully, with responsibility, but let me focus on these core values. Like that. So, if one is grateful, one does not have undue expectations from others. Expectations is another big thing. So, a lack of gratitude for what you have received will manifest as undue expectations to receive more and more. For example, a child is given toys. The small girl, she has some toy, some kitchen set or some Barbie doll. Small girl will play with that or something else she has. Now, that small child will see some other dolls in the showroom. I want that. Aray, Diana, you already have 6 toys with you. No, they have become old. I am bored with that. I want the new toy. Fine, one more toy, 7th toy.
Then after 2 days, another toy she sees. I want that balloon. I want this flute. I want this violin. A violin, nahi hai, something else. So, like that, the small children will keep on asking, demanding more and more, more and more, more and more. Especially wealthy people. They want more and more things. Material wealth will induce more and more restless desires. But if one is grateful for what they have received already, I already have 6-7 toys. Why should I complain that I don't have that toy? Child cannot think like that, but a grown-up person is expected to think like that. We already received a lot. Let me tolerate this small inconvenience. Let me not have expect one thing, one more thing, one more favor. I already received so many favors. Like that. So gratitude will reduce our undue expectations. Sometimes there are genuine needs. We are not denying that. But undue expectations will not be there if you are grateful for what we have already received in life. Right? We will not complain. We will not have undue expectations. We will be able to tolerate. We will have proper service attitude. All this will manifest when we have the right gratitude within the heart. Right? So, one needs to be really humble to be grateful. So, now, when I was picking the definition, I said, gratitude. Kritagnata means you remember the favor that you received. Despite being disqualified to receive that favor. To have that feeling, you should have humility. When can you be grateful? If you can effortlessly do something. For example, you need to lift this table and keep it there. That is your duty, for example. But you don't have the ability. You have some back pain or whatever. Even if you don't have back pain, the weight of this table is like too much. It's a bit more than your capacity to lift. Then someone else will come and help you. Then, because you're unable to do it, someone else will help you. Then you become grateful to him. But someone tells you, okay, you lift this bottle and keep it in that room. You lifted this bottle and you are taking, someone else will come. Two more people will come. Prabhu, I'll help you. May I side pakadta, aap side pakado. Right, I'll catch the table. I'll catch the bottle from this side, you catch from that side. I'll catch from the middle. So three of us will take this bottle to that room. Can you be grateful to that person when he is offering you that kind of help? Why? Because you can effortlessly do it. You feel that it is redundant. Is it not? He is doing time pass with me. He's wasting his time. He's wasting my time. It's redundant. I can do it. So what you can do effortlessly, if you receive a help in that activity, you don't feel grateful for it. Some people will feel grateful for that also. But generally I'm saying, general tendency. But when you can't do something, and if you receive some favor in doing it, generally the feeling of gratitude is much more. Is it not? Similarly, we can't go back to Godhead. Anyone can here? With your own efforts? Of course, you have to put your own efforts. That's what sadhana is. But who informed us that there is a spiritual world? Spiritual master. His representatives. All the acharyas, Guru Parampara, Krishna. So all of them have given us the knowledge, the awareness that we don't belong to this material world. We are actually having the potential to be in the spiritual world. So they reminded us, they gave us training, they showed us the path, how to go there. And so many other devotees, sadhakas are also helping us to traverse on that path. So thus, we need to be grateful to whoever is contributing to us in whatever small way to traverse on this path. Because on our own we can't handle it. So if we look at things that way, we can be grateful for every single thing that we are receiving in life. What qualification do I have to breathe? This is on a very serious note, extreme, I'm speaking. Did I create air? Am I the creator of air? How am I breathing now? So something is coming into my nostrils. Without breathing, I will die. But who gave me the opportunity to breathe? Who is sustaining my life? Right? Someone else has done it. Krishna has made all these arrangements.
I need to sit and hear now. There is a fan, there is light, there is a nice room, there are nice blankets and mats that you are sitting on. So you are able to comfortably sit and hear. Right? If we have a class there on the lawn outside, just 10 feet ahead, you won't be feeling comfortable because it's raining now. Right? Someone has created this thing. You may not have seen that person, but he deserves your gratitude, whoever has created this building. Right? So like that, if we analyze, we ourselves can't function. Whatever needs we have, whatever we are receiving in life, we ourselves have not created it. But we are in need of all of that. Means, there are so many people who are contributing to fulfillment of my specific needs. I can be grateful to all of them, each of them. Is it not? Does it make sense to you? Like that. So we need to find reasons to be grateful. If only you use our little common sense, you can jot down hundreds of reasons to be grateful to so many people. To, in fact, everybody in your this whole community. Right? But when the heart is so selfish, that feeling of gratitude will not manifest in that person. If one is so self-absorbed, self-conscious, selfish, he's always looking for his own enjoyment, he's always trying to claim credit for his activities, he won't feel gratitude towards other people. Right? So we don't deserve many things, but we are getting so many things. So we need to understand that need requires humility to understand that I don't deserve this. Otherwise, we think that we demand it. I deserve this, of course. This facility you have to provide to me. Why you can't provide? If we are not humble, we demand. If you are humble, we don't demand. Oh, I don't deserve this. And that humble feeling will lead to real gratitude. So real culture is based on the principle of gratitude. The potential to love Krishna will manifest when that grateful heart is there. So, to get birth in a cultured family is a significant reason to be grateful to the family. Someone has introduced us to Krishna consciousness. Such a guru is called Patha Pradakshaka Guru. He may not be popular. He may not be an initiating spiritual master. He may not be a manager. He may not be your authority. Whatever it may be. Someone at some point of life has inspired us, has shown us the path, has pulled us into this path. So those who have brought us in touch with Krishna have actually facilitated to stop our transmigration in this 84 lakh species of life. He facilitated. How much we accept that facility and utilize that facility is up to us. But thing is, they showed us the right path. You don't have to transmigrate in this 84 lakh species anymore if you take this path. Oh, I never knew this. You told me this. I'm very grateful to you. Like that. So he may not have actively contributed to one's spiritual life throughout, but that initial one little favor is very significant in our life. It's a great turning point in our life, right? For example, in my personal life, I was introduced to ISKCON by one of my classmates in my college, Indian Institute of Science. His name is Vipin Gupta. Right. He is doing all kinds of things now. He's a businessman. He himself is following something. Kriya Yoga, something like that. Whatever it may be. He has. But somehow through him, I just got connected to ISKCON followers, ISKCON devotees. Right. That's the only thing that he has done. After that, he is not a follower of ISKCON. Like that. Somehow he just introduced me to devotees. Like that. So like that, we can find reasons to be grateful to so many people. Now you see, Suniti told Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by Suruchi, and he came crying to Suniti. What did Suniti say? She said, don't feel envious or don't desire harm for anyone who must have caused some pain to you. So, if at all you want to fulfill any of your desires, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's all she said. 4-5 verses are there in that conversation. Then taking that input, Dhruva Maharaj left home. After leaving home, was Suruchi around? Was Suniti around to guide him? Then Narada Muni guided him. So Narada Muni told him, you go to Madhuvan, you perform all these austerities, and all the hard work is done by Dhruva Maharaj. He became a pure devotee. He got the darshan with his own efforts. And he received so many benedictions from the Lord, and the Lord personally told him that you will go back to Godhead after 36,000 years of ruling this earthly kingdom. So after 36,000 years, Dhruva Maharaj was going back to Godhead on a Vaikuntha airplane. At that time, Dhruva felt like jumping off the airplane. I cannot go back to Godhead. How can I go back to Godhead? He wants to jump out of the airplane. Why? Because he remembered his mother, Suniti. It is my mother, Suniti, who taught me about devotional service when I was 5 years old. Suniti taught Dhruva Maharaj that he has to take shelter of Krishna when he was 5 years old. Now he is 36,000 years old. Plus 5, add. So after 36,000 years also, this favor done by his mother was remembered by Dhruva. So much so that he doesn't feel like going back to Vaikuntha without mother. I must take my mother also along with me. Then understanding his emotion, Nanda and Sunanda, the Vaikuntha attendants, told Dhruva Maharaj, see, your mother is going in Vaikuntha airplane already. She is also with you. Don't worry. When I first time read this, few years back, first time I read this pastime, I felt so happy. My God. Dhruva was so grateful. It really impressed me. Suniti was also going back to Godhead for guiding Dhruva. She herself is a great devotee. But what she the contribution that she did to Dhruva Maharaj is that initial inspiration. Right? She was not his initiating guru or something like that, like Narada Muni. She did not play the role of Narada Muni in Dhruva's life. She did not play the role of Swayambhu Manu in Dhruva's life. But that initial inspiration was very critical for him. It's a turning point in his life. Similarly, we also have so many Prabhupada writes in that purport. By the will of Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, if one of my disciples become a great devotee of Krishna, by the strength of their devotional service, I can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says in that purport. So, gratitude is not only towards some senior people, only Guru or only Krishna. Gratitude is actually towards everyone. Seniors or juniors or equals, whatever it may be. Now you see, Vidura asked so many questions to Maitreya in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th canto. You know that, right? You have not reached the 3rd canto. Anyways, so Vidura was asking questions and Maitreya is giving answers. He was teaching to him Bhagavatam. But Maitreya says, my dear Vidura, because you are so eager to hear Krishna Katha, you are asking me such questions about Krishna, I got an opportunity to glorify Krishna. I am very grateful to you. He is the one who is giving knowledge and teachings to this person. But he's not at all proud. He's not at all having superiority complex. Oh, I am teaching him. Arey, maine diya usko ganti mala. Kya sochte ho? No. When you are giving
favors to others also, you do it as a representative of Krishna. Right? And you are grateful to the person who is receiving favor from you also in spiritual life. Why? Because he, out of his magnanimity or whatever, he has given me an opportunity to do some spiritual service. I could give Kanti Mala to some devotee in the bees. I could speak about Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita to some devotees. Right? It's an opportunity for me to become Krishna conscious. While giving, we intensify our connection with Krishna. Not that we are doing a favor to him. Yeah, he may take it as a favor. He has to take it also from his side. But from our side, we get an opportunity to intensify our connection with Krishna, our meditation on Krishna, by helping others to come closer to Krishna. Thus, we are grateful to those people whom we are teaching also. We are doing favors also. We are guiding also. Thus, a counselor is grateful to counselee. Because you take counseling from me, spiritual counseling from me, and I get an opportunity to give you spiritual guidance, that is intensifying my connection with Krishna. I am very grateful to you. That's the consciousness we see in the speakers of Bhagavatam. Maitreya is profusely glorifying Vidura. And Suta Goswami is glorifying Shaunakadi Rishis. Munayaha sadhu prishtoham bhavadbhir lokamangalaihi yat kritaha krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. You are asking questions about Krishna. That means you expect me to speak about Krishna. By speaking about Krishna, I increase my love for Krishna. So, by asking these questions, you have given me an opportunity to increase my love for Krishna. That's the goal of everybody's life. So, I am very grateful to you. So, thus, an average practitioner of Krishna consciousness is supposed to be grateful to younger people also, who are dependent on him. Their dependence on this person, he is increasing his dependence on Krishna. Right. Similarly, there is no doubt we need to be grateful to senior people who are giving us guidance. Right. Without their guidance and blessings and good wishes, we can't progress in devotional service. Similarly, we need to be grateful to equals. Equals are those people who can criticize us, who can frankly point out our faults and shortcomings and help us improve. If you take those comments of equals in a right spirit, in the right spirit, we have a tremendous amount of opportunity to progress. Right? So, don't be bothered by the comments of equals. They are also very important for us. They are actually very important for us to advance. We should always have some people who can freely correct us. If we don't have such people, if you are surrounded by only juniors who are always constantly glorifying us, praising us, "Are Prabhu, aap ye hai, aap oh hai," then we may become proud, puffed up. If you are always constantly serving seniors and pleasing them, that's good. We'll definitely get blessings. But because the gap is so much, he may not observe every small thing that you are doing. Right? He may not. And you are also very conscious while behaving in front of a senior. Your natural mood may not come out. You get into little reverence. You become little more sober while dealing with them. So thus you are not exactly what your shortcomings may not completely manifest in front of a superior. Because you become a bit conscious and more careful while dealing with them. But with equals, you are more free in your expressions. And they also can freely correct us. These are all very practical things. So thus, you need to be grateful to all of them. All of them are contributing to your spiritual life. Like that. So gratitude does not mean simply saying thank you. It's a feeling of the heart. Your internal feeling is towards that person is, "I seek an opportunity to render some service to you because I received a lot from you." You may not have done something to me, but still just by your presence there, it means a lot to me. For example, you are going to temple hall and chanting in the morning. You are closing your eyes and you are chanting. Bas. But you get that impetus. And you are not dependent on anyone. I am closing my eyes and I am chanting. I may not be even in a circle also. But there are 100 other people sitting in the temple hall and chanting. They created the ambience. Unless they gather together at that time to chant with you, you may not have that impetus to chant at that time. Right? Their presence, whether you ever speak to them or not, you daily go to temple hall, with how many people you have spoken till now? There are 50-60 Gurukul kids. There are some 100, more than 100 or 200 congregation members. There are some 60-70 brahmacharis in the main ashram. Right? And there are two batches of Vidyapit, and there is another third batch of Vidyapit, fourth batch of Vidyapit. Here part-time batches. So, like that all together, you may daily see 200-300 people or 400-500 people sometimes. You may not be interacting with all of them. You may interact with only 4 or 5 people on a regular basis who are a little more close to you within your batch. Even within your batch, you may have 20 people. You may not have regular interactions with all of them. But the very fact that all of them are here is giving you an opportunity to study Bhagavatam, to do your sadhana, to do all your things. That becomes, then you need to be grateful to them. For example, in your batch, 20 people are there. How many are there? 18 people are there, right? In the junior batch? 16. Including all the sections, whatever it may be. So they said there are 20 people. You may think that I am not dependent on any of these 20 people. I can independently study, I can independently do my sadhana, I can independently attend classes, everything. Just imagine, the remaining 19 people are not there, only you are there. Will we conduct class? Will the kitchen provide prasadam? Ek aadmi. Will the course run? Means, your performance or your sustenance in the course is dependent on other people also. And will you forget about others, forget about we management giving you facility or conducting things? Will you have the impetus to study on your own without the remaining 19 people around you? Means consciously or unconsciously, directly or indirectly, they're all contributing to your inspiration, your enthusiasm, your spiritual life. Right? We can't be oblivious to the surroundings. We can't be oblivious or indifferent to the people around us. So, if we just analyze like this, just using little common sense, if we analyze, we can be grateful to each and every person in this room, in this building, in this community, in the entire ISKCON organization. In fact, to the whole world, in one sense. Ultimately to Krishna. Like that. So we always have. So that feeling is there, that gratitude, the feeling of when some very senior people or some sannyasis and gurus, they say, I am grateful to each and every one of you. They mean it. It's not a fancy statement made by them. When some maharajas say, I am very grateful to each and every one of you. It's not a casual statement. They mean it. It's very deep. The presence of so many people, it's very vibrant. That gives us an opportunity to practice nicely. When so many people are not around, we may lose inspiration to practice. So how can we effort to be oblivious to other devotees around us? Because my progress is dependent on other devotees. Right? So we can dedicate our lives to Krishna to the extent we are grateful to Krishna. And we can be grateful to Krishna to the extent we are grateful to other devotees around us also. Or our gratitude towards Krishna is manifested as our gratitude to other devotees also. So they are all interrelated. We can't be independent. So
Why do we have to express gratitude to Guru? Because he is the person who makes us aware that we have a blank check of fortune with us. That's the answer given. Oftentimes this explanation is given. You have say 100 crores in your bank account. But you don't remember that you have a bank account. What will that 100 crores in your bank account do to you? Are they useful to you? No. Similarly, and if someone comes and reminds you, "Arey, you have a bank account. Here is the account number. Here is the password, pin code. Here is your ATM card. Go, put this ATM card in that machine. Use this pin number. You will get this much money." "Arey, mujhe pata nahi yaar. Abhi tak, I never knew that I have a bank account. I forgot. Someone hit me and then I got mad, and then you see in movies they show, right? They just stacked some pillar in the beginning of the movie, and throughout the movie the hero is mad. Hero or whatever, the character is mad. Current shock. Like that. At the end of the movie or in the climax or somewhere just before the intermission, he again gets the same current shock and then he remembers. Sorry. Then he recognizes everything. Right. So, and whoever has given the second current shock, the hero becomes very grateful. "Ah, thank you. Right? So Guru gives us that current shock. Means the remembrance that we have some potential to love Krishna, to serve Krishna. We are connected with Krishna. We are not orphans. Guru gives us that awareness. So similarly, all of us are having a spiritual bank account, set in connection with Krishna. But we have forgotten it. Conveniently we have forgotten it. Who reminded us? Guru reminded us. Guru's representatives reminded us. So we can be grateful to them. So Prabhupada says, "I am very grateful to my spiritual master." So when the gratitude is there, to the extent you are grateful to a spiritual master, to that extent one completely dedicates one's life, mind, body, words for the service of the Guru. Prabhupada said that, "I am instructed by my Guru to preach in English. So my whole life is meant to fulfill that instruction. That's all." Right? He took sannyas and he was giving a lecture. Most of the people in the audience don't understand English. But because Guru told me I should preach in English, so he started speaking in English. Only few people could understand. Right? So my existence is dedicated to the service of my Guru. That's what scriptures are teaching us. That's what Prabhupada taught us. Through his example and through his words. And such a person who is so grateful to his Guru, and as an expression of gratitude he has dedicated his entire life to the service of the Guru, means the gratitude became a fuel for dedication. When can you dedicate yourself to the mission of Guru and Krishna? When you have gratitude. And such a person, Prabhupada, he becomes grateful to all his disciples. Towards the end of his Chaitanya Charitamrita translation, Prabhupada writes that, "I could complete this voluminous work of translating this Chaitanya Charitamrita into English. If there is any credit for this translation work, that goes to my spiritual master. And also I am very grateful to all my disciples who assisted me in the printing and publishing of this book, proofreading and then coordinating so many things. I am very grateful to all of them." Right? So he was giving credit to his disciples. He was feeling grateful to his Guru. He was feeling grateful to his disciples who assisted him in his service to Guru. That's what the life of a devotee is. Gratitude towards Krishna, gratitude towards Guru, gratitude towards Vaishnavas, whether they are seniors or juniors or equals. So it's a life of gratitude. So Vasudev was grateful to Narada Muni. You know why? Narada Muni revealed to Kamsa that Krishna and Balaram are children of Vasudev only. You have been royally cheated by Vasudev. He kept Krishna in Nanda Maharaj's house and he presented a small girl to you. Right? Pura cheating. So all this was revealed to Kamsa. Kamsa became so outrageous and he immediately tried to kill Vasudeva and Devaki. And Narada Muni came to Kamsa and told, if you kill them, Krishna and Balaram will run away. Keep them alive. At least they will come to you for their parents and you can kill them. See, Narada Muni is just siding the villain in one sense. From an external point of view, it seems that Narada Muni is, he is Kamsa's associate or Krishna's devotee. You get doubt. Because so far, after that Durga, Yogamaya manifested and gave a warning to Kamsa, Kamsa became very regretful, begged forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki, and he took them out of prison cell. So, throughout, for almost a decade, Kamsa was not keeping them in prison cell or tormenting them so much. But as soon as Narada Muni revealed it, revealed the news that Krishna was the son of Devaki and Vasudev, Kamsa immediately tried to kill them and imprison them. Apparently, it seems that Narada Muni was acting against Vasudev and Devaki. But actually, if you understand, Devaki and Vasudev were extremely grateful to Narada Muni because you revealed this news to Kamsa, we got the association of Krishna. So far, we were happy that Krishna is safe somewhere. But we were extremely unhappy that we are not with Krishna. Narada Muni's intervention into the whole scene created a transformation. Right? In the lives of Devaki and Vasudev, and they could live with Krishna from then. Is it not? All because of the intervention of Narada Muni. So apparently, if Vasudev and Devaki were just carried away by this thought that this Narada Muni revealed the whole news to Kamsa, and Kamsa has become cruel to us, he's chastising us, he's punishing us, he's imprisoning us. What kind of devotee Narada Muni is? They may have 100 complaints against Narada Muni. But they could see a deeper perspective in the whole thing. Similarly, apparently someone is causing us some disturbance. Someone's behavior is irritating us or causing us inconvenience. We may have to deal with it on a practical basis. But if we take little extra effort and try to think, this experience also is teaching me something. I am grateful to this devotee who caused me this inconvenience. Because he did this to me, I could learn some lesson in my life. Right? So that needs little depth in realization, right? To be grateful to a person who caused inconvenience to you, who harmed you, who caused some difficulty to you, is not a small thing. So ultimately, whether we receive a pleasant experience or unpleasant experience in life, a mature devotee sees Krishna's hand behind it and doesn't blame the instrument there. I received this inconvenience in my life through this person. But behind this person there is Krishna. Right? That is meant for my purification. Jadabharat, you know Jadabharat? He was carrying the palanquin. Of whom? Rahugana. Most of you know this. Although you have not reached 5th canto, it's a popular pastime. So, you know what was Jarabharat's thought? He was thinking, by doing this activity, which I'm not supposed to do, which I'm not entitled to do, I'm exhausting my impious credits. When a devotee experiences suffering, he thinks that I am just losing my impious baggage. When he's experiencing some enjoyment, he thinks that I am exhausting my pious credits. So we are not interested both in piety and impiety. We are interested in spirituality. Right? To love Krishna.
So that's how, when some person is causing us inconvenience, we become grateful to that person for reducing our impious baggage. Theek hai, reaction de diya. Now you gave me this difficulty, that means some of my baggage of impious credits is reduced now. I am thankful to you. Internally you feel like that. But if it is necessary, you should also address the external situation. Somebody is behaving whimsically. So you need to correct him. If it is your responsibility, you need to do the needful externally according to the time, place, circumstances. Right? If somebody deserves chastisement for what they have done, you need to do the needful there. But internally you should have this understanding that without Krishna's sanction, not a blade of grass moves. What should I learn from this incident, from this experience? Oh, this is what I have learned. My understanding and my maturity has increased. I am very grateful to this whole experience. I am grateful to this person who is like the pivot in this experience, or this people who helped me to experience this, like that. So internal understanding, mature vision, and externally there should also be a responsible action, like that. So, and even within Varnashram system also there is a mutual gratitude amongst Varnas. A distorted way is of Varnashram is to claim extra credit to dominate the other Varnas who are little lesser social circle. Brahmanas will become proud that Kshatriya is lower than us, Vaishya is lower than us, Sutra is lower than us. Or Kshatriya will become proud. We are maintaining Brahmanas, they don't work. So that's like a distorted thing. That's a distorted consciousness of people who belong to certain Varnas. But actually speaking, if they have gratitude, that's wonderful. Because there is a section of people, intellectual class, who are studying scriptures, who are giving religious guidance and spiritual guidance to people. Right? Brahmanas. And Kshatriyas, who are taking care of a lot of management and administration in the society. Vaishyas, who are taking up finances, agriculture, co-protection, business, Vanijya, they're all doing. Sudras, they're all serving the other three classes. Like that, in a proper bona fide Varnashrama setup, different Varnas have different job profiles and each of them are doing their designated function. So, what one group is doing, other group is unable to do. Right? Only because one group is doing their activity, other groups are getting an opportunity to do their activity properly. Brahmanas are able to focus on their studies and give spiritual guidance to others only because they are being maintained by other three classes nicely. Sudras are able to maintain themselves only because other three classes are giving them daily bread or their maintenance. Right? Kshatriyas are able to administer because they are guided by Brahmanas. And they don't have to go out and work. They are just doing the management. And they are living on the taxes paid by the citizens. They do management. They oversee things. They don't have to physically work. He doesn't have to grow food. Vaishyas are growing food. And they are giving. The king is eating that. And why he is able to do all that? Because someone else is working for him. For his food. And he himself also have to express gratitude towards the other parties by giving them administration, that kind of support. Like that, each Varna also can be grateful to other Varnas. So like that. So when there is no gratitude, it's extremely difficult to express any service attitude. You can render service to the extent you are grateful for what you have received in life. If that gratitude is not there, forget service. You don't feel like serving. Are kyaar, hamesha seva ko seva 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 bolte rehte. Right? We become bothered. We become irritated when a seva comes. But we become eager and enthusiastic when we have gratitude in heart. Right? Similarly, and we have many other things. It is already 6:30.
So a grateful person doesn't feel the doership mentality, no false ego. There are so many points we can elaborate. Any questions, comments, realizations? We can continue this topic, important topic. Or we can go to next topic also, whatever. Yes, Prabhu, speak. First, you can start speaking.
So you said that point that initially the expression of gratitude depends on the experience of the gratitude.
We can...
One point also. Mm. I want to reconcile the things. That is one point. And for one more point, you just expressed that in the blame game, so in minimum possibility of negativity, you have to sort out.
Mm.
And the last you just now said that is being an instrument in your life, either causing problems, so that you should understand impiety is going. So how to, on a practical level, in one sense you have to get grateful and same time with minimal negativity.
Mm.
That is actually considered 3 points and some more highlight.
I think we can take a special session also on this. I mean, we need a discussion. We need to really dwell on this point. Sometimes the internal emotion and external expression need not match, may not match, or not supposed to match. Getting right? For example, Lord Chaitanya manifested extreme strictness in the case of Gopinath Patnaik, Chota Haridas, or Kala Krishna Das. You know some of these pastimes, right? But internally, he did not give up his soft heart towards them, mercy towards them. He's there for them internally on a spiritual plane. But he never approved their social misbehavior externally. I was just writing this Antilila, Chaitanya Subodhani. In that intro matter, I was thinking how to actually put this in a small thing so that the entire meaning can be captured. Then somehow Paramatma inspired to make me put this title. Disapproved but not disowned. You reviewed it, right? He was doing proofreading. Disapproved but not disowned. Means when someone causes us some inconvenience, someone troubles us, we disapprove that kind of behavior, but we don't disown that person. I am still grateful to you. I love you. Right? I want relationship with you. I want to continue. But what you have done is not proper behavior. So I need to deal with it. So some people want black and white. Either he is my enemy or my friend. I can't be both. Either I will chastise him or glorify him. I can't do both. Either I will slap him or embrace him. I can't do both. Either I am grateful to him or I will criticize him. Right? Or I will disapprove him. We need to have both according to time, place, circumstances. If someone is wonderful, his behavior is wonderful, his etiquette is wonderful, his dealings are perfect, then your internal emotion for him and your external dealing with him will match. Only thing is, when someone is not up to the mark, still you don't give up your affection for him, but you don't approve his action also. So not approving his action doesn't mean you are inimical towards him. Kuch khunna se. You are very angry with him. Not like that. But you have to manifest that anger to rectify the situation. Right? But because internally you have so much affection for him, externally if you don't manifest any anger or take any action towards that person who did some mistake, you are indirectly or directly approving his action. You are increasing his negativity. you are degrading him. Right? If you are in a responsible position. Not that we just poke our nose into every small thing in everybody's affairs. Not in that manner. You don't have to endorse someone's misbehavior. You have to disapprove someone's misbehavior. But internal affection and kindness and an attitude to maintain relationship with him should not be lost. Simple thing. Someone has a disease. Right? It's a contagious disease. For example, your dearest friend or your brother will contact, say, some tuberculosis. Coughing. Brother will cough. Doctor will say, if you enter that room, that virus will get into you and you will also catch tuberculosis. You should not go there. No, I love my brother so much. I will be in that room only. I will serve him. And then you will also be taking a bed next to him and you also sleep. Right? Both of you can sleep there. But you have to protect yourself also from getting affected from the disease. Right? You need to stay away from him. I can't interact with you closely because you have disease. But as soon as the disease is over, I embrace you. I hug you. Right? Like that. Victimized means? I didn't.
Suffered.
Means, for example, person A suffered because of person B.
B is of senior.
B is a senior person. Okay.
So junior case or equal case, it is easy to go and, you know, but senior case to have to approach and tell, you know, may not accept. After his hand, actually, it's not my hand.
In the third canto, 12th chapter, Prabhupada writes, what should be our response when a senior person does a mistake? You know that, right? 3 points he says. Number one, don't lose discrimination. Just because a powerful person or a senior person is doing something, mistake doesn't become bona fide. Mistake is mistake. He says that in the context where Brahmaji is running behind work. You should not lose discrimination. You should see mistake as a mistake. Number two. Don't disrespect him for doing that mistake. Right? If you disrespect him, you will become an offender. Because he is a spiritually elevated person. He has done a lot. But just one small thing. And in fact, that may not affect him also. But if you criticize him, that will affect you. Catch a yoke. That's why, don't point out fault in a senior person. Tejiyasam na doshaya. Right, if someone doesn't follow something, he's a very senior person who has done tremendous amount of service for few decades. Mistake has to be seen as mistake. But you don't disrespect him for that mistake. And if needed, stay away from that person who has done that mistake, if that affects you. Right, but don't disrespect him. Don't ridicule him. Number three is, consider the personal lesson to be learned. If he can do that mistake, I can also do that. Such a person, such a wonderful person, such an exalted person, such a knowledgeable person, such an influential person, he also has done some mistake. What is the guarantee that I will never do that mistake? I will also do it. So I have to be more careful. That's the personal point that we need to learn. Got it? 3 points. Very relevant everywhere. Means see the mistake as a mistake. Just because he has done it, it must be bona fide. Maybe Karunga. If Brahma is running behind daughter, I will also run behind my daughter. But hurry, Brahma is running behind daughter and you can't just point out and then someone did that like that. Marichi's sons did it and they became like demons. They became Devaki's sons also and killed by Kalanim, killed by Kamsa. They became Hiranyakashipu's grandsons also, something like that. They were affected. But Marichi and other sages, they became very sober. They tried to dissuade, stop Brahmaji. but it did not happen. So they prayed to the Lord. So you pray for that person. So when someone is having disease, don't go near him. Simple. Because you will also get affected by the disease. But don't hate the diseased person. Hate the disease. Hate the disease, but not the diseased person. Hate the sin, not the sinner. This is the simple thing, Prabhu. This summarizes the whole thing. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Whether the sinner is an equal or a junior or a senior, that's a different thing. But hate the sin, not the sinner. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. That's why we are having separate discussions on this. We need to regularly discuss amongst people who are also aspiring similarly to develop these qualities. And you have that best opportunity within these 2 years, especially Vidyapeeth. All of you are having the same curriculum. Now if I want to discuss with my friends also on certain things, they may not be available. I have my service and they have my service. I keep traveling. And they also keep traveling for their services. So you don't get a common slot generally to meet. But this is an opulence for you. 2 years, all of you are having the same schedule throughout. So you have a wonderful opportunity to interact with each other and discuss. Some people will hear one statement and dedicate their entire life to that statement. Their determination levels are so high. Some people will hear, they will remember it for 4-5 days, after that back to normal. Some people will hear, while hearing they got so impressed, are wah, kya point hai, aisa hi karna chahiye, hamesha aisa hi karunga main. 2 din ke baad normal. Matlab kya? After 2 days he has to hear again. So you keep taking doses to the extent you need them, right? So if your determination levels to imbibe these qualities or cultivate these qualities is going down, hear it again. Now you keep making, many people I see making notes, writing some points, right? Then just open that notes and then read it. Gratitude, tolerance, forgiveness, all these things. Okay, yes, Prabhu. And also, if you want to develop certain quality, keep observing Vaishnavas around you. Someone must be having that quality to a considerable extent. Associate with him, discuss with him. We develop certain quality by associating with people who have that quality.
Many times we do service, but we are not doing service thinking on the level of gratitude. Still you are doing service.
Correct.
But then what is the yardstick to measure what level I am grateful to others?
We may not remember, but the very fact that we are doing that seva shows that we are grateful. Otherwise you will not even accept that service. However, there is a transition phase in a person who is coming out of the zone of that gratitude. Now, you may not realize, you may not remember, oh, he has done so much to me, he has given me so much opportunity, I need to be grateful to him. If I am grateful to him, I have to do this seva. You may not always remember while doing every single seva that you are doing. Right? Sometimes you may remember, that's good. Sometimes you may not remember, but you are doing it responsibly. But if sometimes we may not be so inspired to do that service, or sometimes we may feel little lax or bored to do that service. But if you remember that, I must extend myself. He has done a lot for me. He has guided me. Not that he has done and I have to repay, not in that sense, but it's a expression of gratitude that I want to do. However, a At some point, some sadhakas undergo this kind of phase. They don't have any more inspiration levels to serve or to serve in a particular manner. We need to understand it's not in our system to serve, to do that service. Right? You may be grateful, but you may not be able to do everything you are asked to do. Because as an individual, everybody has certain nature. Everybody has certain skill set or preference, or he is comfortable to do something. But he may not be comfortable to do everything. Initially, we try many things. Just like in your first standard, second standard, third standard, you don't decide your syllabus. You don't have electives. You have electives? Electives come when you come to B.Tech, M.Tech, Ph.D., postdoc, like that. Initially, everything you need to do. They have 6 subjects. Whatever, language, local language, Marathi, Hindi, English, then mathematics, science, social. 6 subjects, for example. Up to 6th or 7th standard, whatever it may be. Compulsory. If you fail in one subject, continue in that academic year. Arey, mere ko science mein interest nahi, mere ko social mein interest hai. That interest you can manifest only when you come to your master's degree. Right, there you are given a choice. Till 10th standard, you study everything. After that, you can choose MPC, BPC, and what other things are there. Commerce line mein jana hai, physics mein jana hai, chemistry mein jana hai. You have some freedom to choose your interest. And after that, you go to the next graduation course. There you will have much more finer thing. For example, I did. Up to 10th standard, whatever is the syllabus, I did. Then I took MPC. I didn't take BPC. BPC means Biology, Physics, Chemistry. MPC means Mathematics, Physics, Chemistry. I preferred Mathematics more than Biology. So I went into this stream. So there I have to study Physics also, Mathematics also, Chemistry, everything. So there, later, things became, when I came to B.Tech, things became little more pointed. I had more choice. Then I took Electronics and Communication. Right? And that intense physics and chemistry things went down. In the first year, we had some lab experiments, and after that, focus more on that digital signal processing, this and that. When I came to M.Tech, M.E., Masters, then it's even more fine-tuned. After that, I have given up the whole thing and then came to ISKCON. That's a different thing. Right? So, it's like you can have a particular choice when you have manifested certain level of commitment up to certain degree. You will not be given choice to study only chemistry or only biology or only mathematics right from your first standard. Make sense? I'm just speaking practicals. Spiritual circles also, it happens. Initially you are expected to do all services. Right? Because initial phase is test for your surrender. Faith, submissiveness. So if you pass the test, so this is what this is the service that I am given. Even if I am not inspired, I will do this seva. That's an opportunity for me to express my surrender, because the initial services that we get are not very heavy responsibilities. The person who is giving you that service is responsible for it. And you are going as a volunteer. Right? Initial years, few years, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. After that, you become little, you develop some inclination or interest or expertise in doing certain, some kind of seva. Then you will just go into that line. And authorities, your senior people also will recognize that, oh, he is good in this. Let me encourage in that. And sometimes as per the need, we need to extend ourselves. Even if it is not in my interest area, because it is the need of the hour, I should be able to do it. Emergencies are emergencies, but in general, some kind of facility is given. Okay, somebody is not very excited with congregation preaching. He will be put in youth preaching. Somebody is not very expert in youth preaching. अरे youth preaching मतलब उनको पूरा मसाला दे के बना पड़ते हैं. I'll speak to only devotees. Right? Practitioners. So like that, preaching is all the different flavors according to a person, time, place, circumstance and all. But there are some common services. So आपको backup करने अभी. बर्तन धोना ही पड़ेगा. Like that. But after some time, you just stick to dressing only. For example, I do mainly dressing only. Sometimes I do backup also, but I do only dressing now. I can't do aartis and all. I can't stand. I have a specific need for the body. I have a specific schedule. During the day, if I class do, I go to the book. Right? So, I don't take up aartis. I take only dressing. And that's understood by the whole ashram. All senior people, common members, everybody knows. Take it. This fellow does this. Some people do only aartis. They don't do dressing. They don't have that skill of decoration and all. Aarti is straightforward. But if there is an emergency, there is a need is there, I also may have to do aarti. Who knows? No one is there. Extend yourself. Make sense? So, don't expect. Now you are coming. Initially you asked also about gratitude. While doing the seva, you may not remember that gratitude. You may not remember that I have to be grateful, I need to be grateful. That becomes a little mechanical also. Right? The very fact that you are doing that seva means you are doing it as an expression of gratitude, whether you are consciously thinking of it or not. Right? But if you feel that it's mechanical, just remind yourself. Every now and then you keep reminding yourself that I am doing it for Prajna of Krishna, I need to be grateful. That reminders will also increase our gratitude. But sometimes what could happen in the life of a sadhaka is, apart from this genuine need or inclination to do a specific kind of service, one may become little whimsical and independent. People may work like government employees. Government employee pata hai kya? Abhi seva, seva matlab government service will start at 9 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock, punch out of office. I cannot stay even 5 seconds beyond this 5 p.m. And even till 5 p.m. also I am staying, because if that swipe shows that I went 5 minutes, 10 minutes before, then they will cut my salary. In some companies they have the calculation. One day he went 10 minutes early, another day he went half an hour early, another day he went a few minutes early. They may not count beyond time. So they keep counting like that. And all your 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour will accumulate, and one day salary they will cut. Hey, 1000 gaya mera salary se. So like that they will start feeling. So sometimes devotees also will lose that government service. Government employees jaisa seva karte. Prabhu, mera time ho gaya Prabhu, abhi 8 ghante seva karne hai na. They will come to. Jitna bola utna hi karega. They don't use their creativity or common sense or responsibility to do something. Hey, clean karo. Clean kar diya udhar. Arre, baazu mein wo hai na. There is some dust there also. Why don't you clean that also? Aapne bola idhar hi clean karne ke liye, udhar touch nahi kiya. Arre, akal nahi hai kya? You don't have the common sense to see that there is something, some dust is there also. So if you have responsibility, if you think that this is my home, you will get into that. So we can't be working like government employees. Just touch me not. Just do the needful and come back. This happens. So that's an unhealthy situation. That's lack of gratitude. But we just discussed 2-3 things. To summarize, one, you may do seva, but you may not remember, you may not feel that gratitude. It's not that you are not feeling it, but you are not consciously remembering it. The very fact that you are responsibly doing a seva, that means you have some gratitude. Otherwise, you can't take so much of responsibility. But sometimes one may take responsibility also in the mood of achievement and accomplishment and for the desire for name, fame, credit, etc. So that also is not a proper consciousness. Second, you may not be able to take up certain service because of your genuine need. It's not in your system to do that. And after some time, you need some more space to do some seva that you prefer. right? For a prolonged amount of time, if you are pushing yourself to do something what you are not meant to do, you may get into a little depression also. It's a natural human tendency, right? But when will that stage come depends, person to person basis. Right on day one, you can't say like that. As I said, first standard may elective, may Hindi nahi padunga, may English nahi padunga, may all these languages I will not take. Just give me electronics only. Aisa hota hai, thodi hota hai. Initially you have to go through all these things. A, B, C, D karne, all languages you need to go, mathematics. Basic mathematics is needed for you to get into physics. Like that. Makes sense? Does it make sense? So, initial few years. But different people, it's a different thing. A decade, or at least 5-6 years. Just surrender. That's an expression for you, that's an opportunity or responsibility for you to cultivate submissiveness, surrender, and malleability, service attitude, and all these things. And then you will be, Krishna will give you opportunity to do that service which you are actually excited to do. Like that. Make sense? Hare Krishna. We went way beyond time. All because of questions. I stopped at 6:30. Like a government employee. But you extracted service which is not generally rendered by a government employee from me.